It's Sunday morning, and welcome to the morning skate here on 90.7 The Capstone. Going a little later than usual today, just because we're short-staffed a little bit. Our normal team, or at least our team that did it last week, and Kendall Grayson, Taylor Guzzi, and Eric Evenson, they're all out of town following Alabama hockey as they travel to the SEC tournament, actually. With a big win over Florida yesterday, they'll be playing... I think it's Arkansas later today. We'll get more into that as the show goes on. But before we get too far into it, I do have them out of town. But we're deep here at 90.7, and I've got plenty of people to step on the bench. So I'll turn it over to you guys. Starting with you. I'm joined by the Andrews, Claire and Wallace.
Yeah, double duo.
Fourth liner right here.
Yeah, fourth liners. It just.
Hey, I'll take third line. No, I'll take fourth line.
Oh, third line. The guys that go up against the big nasties. You want to go up against the big nasties?
Yeah, let's do it. Power forward right here.
I'm like Biz Nasty. Let's get Biz Nasty.
All right, well, starting with you, just introduce yourself and let them know your hockey background. And,
I'm Andrew Clare. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. Me and Seth share a very, very common thing. We're both Coyote fans. Love the Coyotes and grown up a hockey fan my whole life. Played when I was younger. Still love it. And go Yotes.
I'm outnumbered here by the Coyotes. I'm Andrew Wallace, St. Louis Blues, born in St. Louis, raised in Virginia, so I've got the Capitals background as well. Most of my friends are actually Hurricanes fans, so you actually placed me on the perfect slot of games. I don't know if you intended to do that, Seth.
Of course I did. You didn't hear last week when I put the Penguins fan with the Penguins game, the Hurricanes fan with the Hurricanes game, and the Avs fan with the Avs game.
See, that's Seth Juniak. He knows his crew,
and he knows how to get the best
out of them. But I've never played ice hockey. I've definitely played some rollerblade hockey before. My ankles are probably too terrible to get on the ice for extended amount of time.
Yeah, you're also huge, man. You're better suited for basketball. Just, for those not in the studio, Andrew Wallace is a good 6'3".
So I'll go 6'5 on a good day.
6'5 on a good day. 6'5 in skates.
There you go. I'll take that. Or high tops.
Yeah. Just again, thank you guys. It means a lot that, we could have this show. Obviously, I think this show is a fun thing. It's a fun way to break up the monotony of, everyday life or whatever. And, I know you guys like coming in and just talking. So much fun here at 90.7. We get to do so much that we love, and I think that's just a great opportunity. But I digest. Moving on, we'll get into the talking. We are here to talk hockey, and I can talk not hockey and hockey either way all day. And so, I gave you guys some homework as we get into it. I plan on starting every show down the road with this. I gave you guys homework. I gave you guys a couple of games to kind of just give me a quick blurb. We'll go around the league, and you just tell me what happened in this game. It's like a highlight section. It's like ESPN, but we don't have the pictures. We have our voice, which is so much better, right?
Much more descriptive.
Dad bass.
Octave low.
So, we'll go and do our game digestions or, breakdowns and dissections, not digestions. but, man, I'm just stumbling with my words. We'll start with you, Andrew, since you're Andrew Clare. I feel like I have to make this distinction. This is a lot rougher.
Just call me Clare.
Yeah, we got to go last names, I think.
We'll go AC and A-dubs.
All right.
I like that, AC.
All right, so we'll start with you, Andrew. Tell us what happened last night in the NHL.
So, first off, we got the Flames visiting Philadelphia to take on the Flyers. Philly would win this one 2-1. No scoring after one, but in the second, Braden Sheen starts the scoring early as he nets his 15th of the season. 1-0 after two, but then in the third, Scotty Hartnell adds his 15th of the year as the Flyers take a 2-0 lead, but then Matt Stajan of the Flames would add a goal late to cut it to a 2-1 game, but that's all the Flames could get, so the Flyers would go on to win 2-1. The Flyers head into the Olympic break with 66 points and 7th in the East. This is pretty crazy, considering they fired their coach, Peter Laviolette, a week into the season.
All right, and the St. Louis Blues were at home in Scottrade. They faced the newly moved Winnipeg Jets. I guess not quite newly moved, but they were
this
the Thrashers.
This is their second season there.
Yeah, they were the Thrashers, and that was the team I followed as well. But to this game, it was kind of a bookend game, meaning that the extra period and the first period were the two impactful periods where most of the goals were scored. It was a 4-3 Blues win, and the Blues kind of have been limiting their U.S. Olympic guys that everyone knows about, Backes, Oshie, and Shattenkirk, in prep for these appearances. And between Chris Christmas and January 10th, St. Louis had won 7 games in a row. They also won 5 in a row to end the month of November. But this has been a bad stretch for them. The game yesterday was a much-needed win, and their 4th in a row that saw extra ice time because these elite players are out. A lot of slot action for the Blues. Morrow and Roy, both veterans, chipping in for a goal and an assist apiece. And Winnipeg's really struggled to stay above 500 this season. The Blues were able to take them down in a shootout as T.J. Oshie, one of the hottest Blues of late, but as I mentioned, not seeing as many minutes, and Vlad Tarasenko made moves past Al Montoya. Tarasenko has been clutch lately, stepped up. He's been added to the Russian roster, and he's played phenomenally. Roy and Brendan Morrow have also been very consistent for the Blues in this 4-3 win.
And then we're going to go to Boston, where last night I saw a production, a nice little movie. It was called Beatdown, and it starred the Boston Bruins, and their victim was the Ottawa Senators. The Ottawa Senators on a bad end of a 7-2 Bruins victory. Just unreal. Lots of offense there. 3 points for Patrice Bergeron, and the Bruins get their 37th win of the season over the Senators.
Now we're going to go over to Toronto. Vancouver on the other side of the country in Canada take on the Maple Leafs. Probably, I got family in Toronto, Seth, so you kind of set me up nicely with the Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs would win this one over the Canucks 3-1. Van City took a 1-0 lead early in the first period as Ryan Kesler, the former Ohio State Buckeye, got his 20th of the season. But then completely different game as we head into the third period as Toronto scored 3 unanswered goals, including the game winner by Phil Kessel, his 31st of the year, as he goes into the Olympic break for the U.S., and also some insurance added by JVR, James Van Riemsdyk. This has been a much different Canuck team since that line brawl against the Flames a couple weeks ago. They have lost 7 straight and now 10 in the West. And for the Maple Leafs, they have been a much different team since the Winter Classic and since that Tim Gleason trade. They have kind of been on fire since then.
And we go into PNC Arena in Raleigh, North Carolina. The interesting thing for Carolina to really take note of is they've kind of got a 3-goalie rotation going on. This game was in their hands. They were up 1-0 in the second period, but the Canadiens stormed back, reeling off 4 straight goals to a 4-1 win. And as I mentioned, the goalie situation in Carolina is kind of what I'm going to focus on in this bit. Cam Ward obviously getting injured, and then you have Anton Khudobin having to step up. He got hurt. Justin Peters has played pretty well in replacement. Khudobin was elite in the first half of this game and then really struggled. Things got out of hand. And guys to mention, obviously, you got Brendan Gallagher for the Canadiens, who was chipping in all over the place. And 4-1 in PNC Arena in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Speaking of goalies, let's move from Carolina to Tampa Bay, where Ben Bishop's been one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. The Lightning, and led by Ben Bishop, they host the Red Wings. Daniel Alfredson scores pretty quick for the Wings, but it was all Lightning after that. 4-2 victory for the Bolts behind Andre Palat's 2 goals. He's an Olympian. And a 31-save performance out of Ben Bishop, who isn't Olympian, but that still hasn't stopped him from being solid all year round.
Former Blue.
Now we're going to go to the island, to Long Island, as the Avs are on the road to take on the Islanders. 5-2 Colorado wins on the road. Last year's first overall pick, Nathan MacKinnon, opens the scoring up in the first with his 22nd of the season, 1-0 after one. In the second, Colorado adds 2 Matt Duchene goals. He's going to be a Canadian Olympian, as they led 3-0 headed into the third period. But don't count out the Islanders just yet. They would respond with 2 unanswered goals to make it 3-2 late in this game. However, the Avs would get 2 empty netters to make this 5-2. Game was much closer than the score looked, but how about this in the game? There were 7 goals in this game, and 6 of them were by Olympians.
And another really close game in the third period. This game was decided between the Devils and Capitals. All of my quote-unquote teams had homestands, so this was in D.C., the Verizon Center. Comcast ice, very friendly ice. The Caps won 3-0, as I mentioned. This will be the final game the Caps play before the break. Julien Brier, in his second appearance in the NHL, gunned an upper wrister for his first goal in the third period in his NHL career, and Martin Erat put an empty netter in for his first goal of the season to put the Caps up 2-0. Both teams are kind of fighting for that 8th spot in the East. Troy Brouwer netted his 14th of the season unassisted to seal things off, and for the Caps, it's going to be the same old story. This team can only get in the slot if Braden Holtby is lights out, and he continued to be with 25 saves on this night.
And we'll end on a pair of Pacific teams traveling to their central counterparts. Opponents, but first the Anaheim Ducks travel to Nashville, take on the Predators. Really, it's just been, they're going through the motions. The Ducks are taking care of business, as expected to be from the NHL's best team in terms of points. Ryan Getzlaf notches three in the game, and or 3 points in the game, and his Ducks win 5-2 over the Preds. And lastly, you know, mine and Andrew's Coyotes, they played the Dallas Stars last night after playing the Chicago Blackhawks the night before. So obviously, you know, there's a fatigue factor going in, and it showed. You know, Dallas outskates, outworks, outplays the Coyotes. Goaltender Kari Lehtinen slams the door, and the Stars win 2-1. But before we move on to our next segment, you have anything to say about that game last night there, Andrew?
Yeah, just like you said, you summed it up pretty nicely. They just went through the emotions, really. You know, it was a very emotional game Friday night in Phoenix against the Blackhawks, and they just had no energy. They lost twice in the same week to Dallas.
Yeah, and that's the thing that it's really interesting to see. This is a Dallas team that's been out of playoff contention for, you know, most of the season so far, and then to see them explode onto the scene like this, or well, at least before I thought that, you know, I was thinking the Dallas Stars, they're that team, they're always that team, and watching them play, I don't know, it's just, they just seem like they are a lot better than their record indicates, and, you know, but now they're in the eighth playoff spot, so they're obviously a playoff team right now, and, you know, we're talking about our team right here. Andrew, before we go to a break, I gave you a segment, you know, to just kind of have a chance to talk about the St. Louis Blues. You know, much like Andrew and mine's Coyotes, you know, the Dallas Stars, they're what you'd call it, maybe a middle market team, you know, not, there's not the traditional fan base that you'd see of a Canadian team or a Red Wings or a Penguins. So, you know, just before we go to the break, you know, just tell us about the St. Louis Blues. How are they doing this season?
Great description. Definitely a middle market team, and obviously with the lack of success, I guess you could say, from the Rams, the fan base there is kind of merged more to a hockey fan base. Obviously, a big baseball town, St. Louis is, much more than anything else. But 10 Blues are on Olympic rosters, and that's obviously one of only 3 teams can claim that. I mentioned the U.S. guys, TJ Oshie, David Backes, Kevin Shattenkirk, and then you have Alex Petrangelo and Jay Bouwmeester for Canada, Steen and Patrick Berglund for Sweden. The heating up Vlad Tarasenko for Russia, he's going to be somebody to look out for, I think, in these Olympics. And of course, you have Yaroslav Halak, he'll be for Slovakia, and Sobotka for the Czech Republic. But the trick to the Blues this season, you hit on a guy that has moved away from St. Louis, who's drafted in 2005, 85th overall, Ben Bishop. And the reason he was able to move away has been Brian Elliott's resurgence. He really played well in the AHL, and now Ken Hitchcock has been able to make him more of a regular alongside the always consistent Halak. And you look at those guys' numbers, they're very comparable. Just a really quick run through of those guys. You have 24 wins, of course, for Halak, and he's only allowing 2.26 goals per game. And then in comparison, Bishop's 15-4, and he has only allowed 2.13 goals per game. And the scores are young. The defense is anchored by youth Shattenkirk, a guy we both really like. So he's a very young guy, and then he's complimented by experience. Barrett Jackman just played his 700th NHL game, so that's certainly very interesting. And another thing to take note of, a very minor thing that might have pieced this team together, Jaden Schwartz, he was a defender when the Blues drafted him 3 years ago, but he's been moved to left wing, and he scored 19 goals on the season. He scored one in the contest last night, so he's a very big surprise there at that left winger spot.
I always like seeing guys, just you know, we got time to burn, so let's kind of just open the discussion a little bit. You mentioned, you know, he made the transition from forward to defense, or defense to forward. Well, I don't know, players like that always just kind of interest me a lot. This season we had Dustin Byfuglien with the Jets, you know, he was a defenseman, and now he's moving back to the forward spot.
Yeah, I was just about to say Dustin Byfuglien, you know, when he was in Chicago, you know, big buff on that blue line, kind of helped him win the cup, and then they traded into Atlanta, and for a couple years he's been going back and forth, but now he's really up as a forward spot now.
Yeah, and it's you watch a guy like that play, it's really tough to kind of see what his natural position is, you know, because when he's playing a winger spot, he can't defend a guy, you know, worth anything. When he's playing the defense, you see the offense burst out, and really there's an identity crisis going on there. I just always think that's really interesting with players who have that kind of parity. You know, thank you for the report on the Blues. Again, I'm always, you know, like I said, not a lot of people know about the Blues just because they don't spread that very, you know, they don't have that fan base going around. And like you said, the town, they're all Cardinals there.
True.
You know, and maybe some of them are Rams. I doubt it, but, you know.
Not as much. I hope that the Blues don't run into the Kings this playoff season.
I don't think anyone does, but I hate them so much.
2 years in a row.
I can't believe, you know, 2-0. You know, they're up 2-0 on that series, especially when Quick blew game one for them last year, and you thought the Blues looked unstoppable, but then they just went into a brick wall when they got to L.A.
Yeah, but now that'll end this segment. On the other side of the break, we will get talking about the Olympics. Is that what I have on the outline? I guess we're going trade deadline. So a big meet. The trade deadline coming up. Rosters are frozen, but that doesn't mean we can't talk about the trade deadline. So you're listening to The Morning Skate. Keep it tuned, guys, on 90.7 The Capstone.